to Better by the Minute Life with Becca, where we will once again share information that empowers you as a citizen of this great nation. Our focus is to encourage you to look on the brighter side of life and the good things that are happening around us. Tonight, we aren't ignoring the elephant in this worldwide room. We are joined by Jonathan W. Emord, a leading authority in constitutional and administrative law, who has been practicing before the federal courts and agencies since 1985. As a strong advocate for the First Amendment, he has led the fight against the FDA and their unconstitutional censorship of the relationship between nutrients and disease. He represents many doctors wanting to really help their patients. Now, Jonathan's talents go beyond the courtroom and suing the FDA with many victories.
He's an author. He has some amazing books that I personally think should be required reading and even courses when it comes to Constitution, the different types of threats that we have that can be and currently are threatening our life as we know it. Way back in 1991, he started writing Freedom, Technology, and the First Amendment. Another one, Restore the Republic in 2012. Rise of Tyranny, which, goodness, I finished reading that one yesterday, and that will be a program all in itself. Another one, Global Censorship of Health Information. And then The Authoritarians, not quite his latest release, but The Authoritarians, they're sold on individual liberty, the Constitution, and free enterprise from the 19th century to present. I mean, this should be a history book that, like I said, is taught in high school and then again in college. And then his most recent one, which I want to say it was cute, Jonathan, but it was actually really sad in the same breath, how Biden stole Christmas, Hanukkah, and Kwanzaa too. Jonathan, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. You have done so much. I mean, you have been gifted with a mind that is out of this world. Just put in a place where you are making such an impact in Constitution, our right. I mean, the Rise of Tyranny, it stated that you had sued the FDA 6 times, but is it just 6?
No, it's 8 now. 8 victories. I've sued them more victories. Than 8 times.
And I was going to say, and prevailed. More than that, what does it mean whenever you sued the FDA with a victory?
Well, it's a joyous occasion, that's for sure. These cases all dealt with the right to communicate truthful and non-misleading health information to the public. So much was at stake. For example, the folic acid neural tube defect claim and the omega-3 fatty acids coronary heart disease claim and the antioxidant vitamin cancer risk reduction claim, all of them carried with it the reality that would come if that information were allowed to reach the public, which is it would transform people's lives. It would reduce the deaths and horrific consequences of the deprivation of those nutrients. So, for example, in the case of folic acid and neural tube defects, well, at the time we sued the FDA, there were 2,500 preventable neural tube defect births a year, and there were countless NTD-related abortions. And after we won, the CDC's evaluation of the incidence of NTDs in the public found a significant reduction that continues to this day, so that there is really very, very few neural tube defect births in America today. And the incidence of neural tube defect birth abortions has gone down dramatically too because of the reduction. And that's because women of childbearing age have learned from these promotions that have stemmed from that case that if they take 800 micrograms of folic acid every day while they're in their childbearing years before they become pregnant, that will reduce their risk of a neural tube defect birth by as much as 80%.
That's quite a bit.
There are many like this. The omega-3 fatty acid coronary heart disease risk reduction claim, likewise, is hugely important. The Office of Management and Budget estimated that that information, if it were allowed to reach the public by eliminating the FDA censorship, would result in a reduction of upwards of 110,000 deaths from sudden death heart attack in the United States each year. So these are hugely consequential decisions, and it's an honor to have been able to argue them. And it's just magnificent for me to know that the courts got it right in the end, and that information has been able to reach the public. And a whole host of other claims. The selenium cancer claim is in the public, and the antioxidant vitamin cancer risk reduction claim was allowed to reach the public after we defeated the FDA on that. And so it's been a wonderful, you know, opportunity to make a difference, which is what I would hope to do in my life. I'm all for beating up on government censors.
And I'm all for making sure more and more people get the information, because it's still, like, right now, it is not widely communicated as much as it should. I mean, in reading The Rise of Tyranny and even advisory boards advising not to release certain drugs, and then releasing them anyways and having so many drug-related injuries and deaths, how people have confidence in the FDA and think, oh, well, it's not FDA approved, I don't want to take it. Well, I'll tell you what, if it's FDA approved, there's no way I'm going to take it without doing more investigation. Everything that I'm learning about the FDA is corrupt.
Yeah, and the evidence of that corruption is overwhelming. Testimony before Congress by whistleblowers from the FDA over several decades. Dr. David Graham, who is the Associate Director of the FDA Office of Drug Safety, laid bare FDA corruption, and that established rather conclusively, I thought, that FDA is a captive of the drug industry, and that it has that industry's interests in mind, not the interests of the American public. And the consequence is, as he said, that the public is virtually defenseless against these unsafe drugs that the agency seems to approve with wild abandon over the years. It is true that you cannot trust the FDA to assure safety, because it is so heavily controlled by the drug industry. And the whole system is corrupt. I mean, if you file a drug application, you submit the testing of the drug. It's your own testing. So there's an inherent conflict of interest. You obviously aren't going to spend the money and develop a drug and reveal to the agency all of the adverse effects and so forth of that drug in an honest and detailed way, because it's against your interest in getting it approved. Why would you do that? So there is no independent testing of drugs by FDA or by any other source. The agency just looks at the drug application and accepts the representations. And if a drug applicant doesn't raise safety issues on its own, the FDA ordinarily just considers that, well, it must be safe, because they don't do any hard look to establish a lack of safety. They don't do any independent testing, as I mentioned. So it's a joke. It's a highly politicized environment where politics reigns over science. And as you know from the whole COVID-19 situation with the vaccine, when politics reigns over science, you get misinformation, you get the public is injured, innovation is suppressed. Truthful information, if it harms a competitive interest, is disallowed in the market. Big problems.
Big problems. And you've addressed many of these problems on townhall.com. You are a columnist there. Just this month, you put out COVID treatment suppression is Killing Americans. Now, I haven't heard about that on mainstream media. Let's go deeper into the article that you had written and submitted there, and let's really expose what this suppression is doing.
So the Biden administration, from the start, decided that every effort should be undertaken to ensure the maximum number of people are vaccinated, on the theory that if you maximize vaccination, you will end COVID. And at the same time, it decided that if we emphasize treatment, that is, if we tell people all of the benefits available from treating COVID early, we will dissuade people from being vaccinated because people may think that they don't have to be vaccinated, that if they get it, they can just rely on treatments. And so the administration made a conscious effort to suppress treatment information. And it has had the assistance of big tech in achieving that. People who have argued for various treatments that have been proven effective around the world and in the science studying them have found that they've been kicked off of, you know, the various social media platforms and have been ostracized, and the government has shunned them. That's evidence of widespread systematic censorship, and it is killing people. It has been killing people. The reality is, if you get COVID, the first thing you want to do is get treatment as soon as possible. And as we know from Omicron, individuals who are vaccinated aren't going to escape Omicron. They can get the disease as well. And even before that, with Delta, we were seeing many breakthrough infections. And the vaccine has proven itself to be not the answer, because it wanes in its effectiveness and it hasn't the staying power that people expected. And we can also anticipate there's going to be what I've coined the term vaccine fatigue, because people aren't continuously every 6 months or greater going to get vaccinated. They just aren't in perpetuity. It has the highest adverse effects of any vaccine ever, as well as all other vaccines combined. There are more adverse effects reported. There's no evidence of its utility or need in young people, yet they're pushing for vaccination, even of young people all the way down to kindergarten. And there's no benefit. I mean, there's no demonstrable benefit. There are risks, and the risks outweigh the benefits for young people. So it's that suppression of treatment information has caused people not to know of treatments and to go into the hospital. Hospitals and physicians in hospitals have been dissuaded from encouraging treatment by these same bureaucrats. Many of them, I talked to a prominent physician, several of them actually, I represent a lot of them, and they tell me over and over again that their hospitals, that their medical groups, that their health insurers, all of them pressure them to avoid prescription of treatments for COVID, except in an absolute emergency situation where it's really too late. And even then, there are several kinds of treatment that are, you know, just forbidden. So ivermectin, for example, very effective, established to be so all around the world. If you take it early on in the infection, it is tremendous. It can prevent you from hospitalization and death. And it's very inexpensive. It's off patent. And yet for a physician to prescribe ivermectin, they get in all sorts of trouble if it's revealed that they prescribed it for COVID. They can lose their licenses by their medical boards. They can be denied hospital privileges. This has happened all over the country. And then there are several other treatments that we know of, like Paxlovid, which is a recent treatment approved by the FDA. You know, they haven't rolled out large quantities of Paxlovid. It's coming too late in the course of this pandemic. The government has not made a national priority using the ability to commandeer the Defense Department to ensure mass production and distribution as soon as possible. Biden administration has done none of that, again, because their emphasis is this exclusive one on vaccination. And their monoclonal antibodies that are good against the original virus and one version is good against the Omicron, and fluvoxamine, an old drug that is also good for reducing, if you get it early, the disease. And then hydroxychloroquine, as we know, has also been proven very effective when given early. So the typical freedom that you look for, the doctor-patient relationship, this non-collectivist approach, the individualized approach that we expect in medicine for good medicine, where a physician knows your medical history, interacts with you, and tells you what method of treatment is the best for you, is completely destroyed by this. There's this collectivist approach of vaccinate everyone, that's it, and dissuade people from taking these early treatments, which is insane. Because it's the early treatments that are saving lives. And when you deny people information about it, and when you don't allow it to be present everywhere, I mean, early treatment options should be available at every pharmacy in the country. Doctors should liberally be allowed to prescribe early treatments. And we should aggressively attack this disease when people first show symptoms. And doing that not only reduces their risk of hospitalization and death, but also reduces their long-term risks of adverse effects from the spike proteins causing inflammation throughout their bodies. So that the effect of that, of enduring COVID for a longer period of time, is likely to result down the road in significant increases in all sorts of diseases, neurological diseases, cardiovascular diseases, diseases of the kidneys, and of other organs in the body, all related to the adverse effects of the inflammation effect caused by the spike proteins.
Now, you know, they have all of these early treatments, and that doesn't even touch on things that we can do to strengthen the immune system even prior to getting any type of symptoms.
And FDA censors that information. The FDA will not allow any information about what a nutrient might do in improving your immune function if it's in reference to limiting the adverse effects of COVID. You're absolutely prohibited from saying anything like that.
That in itself is criminal, because there's so much evidence that has been submitted through peer-reviewed papers on how specific nutrients are antiviral. For me, I'm an herbalist. I'm in the wellness field. And I have seen so many people benefit, including myself, from nutrition and getting away from all of this processed stuff and getting away from all these things that are FDA approved that are, quote unquote, managing disease, which for me, the management was making me sicker and sicker. When I woke up to that is when I started getting better. Okay, I've got this fire that has been lit in my belly, and I'm ready to let it out, because it's infuriating. Where my program is to bring out the better side of things and a better by-the-minute life, I want to make sure that people are empowered with information that they can use to help themselves. And that's what we're doing here on today's program as well. Just something kind of funny, but not. Our family got hit with COVID back in August of 2021. One of our family members went in, they got tested. The testing was an hour and a half away from home. Before they got home, my neighbor, who I live in a farming area, have some ranchers that have cows. My neighbor came over and handed me a bottle of ivermectin. I had not communicated anything. You know, you've got this app of COVID exposures that come up on your phone where forget about any HIPAA laws. And that's how she found out that somebody in our household had tested positive for COVID, which I'm very thankful in the fact that she felt inclined to bring us over some ivermectin, because we got, all of us got on it really fast. And I believe that really made an impact on how mild things were for us. Because I know some people get really bad symptoms, feel that they have to go to the hospital. I have some clients that have done that. the outcome has not been that great. And now it's trying to detox and get stuff out of the body that was causing more harm than good. You know,
as much information as possible to be communicated to people. We need to, this is a question of sovereignty. We have an environment in which the state wants to be a controller of all information on the assumption that we're too stupid to comprehend. And in any event, we will not do what the government wants us to do. The reality should be quite the opposite. Our founding fathers intended for us to be sovereign, for us to have freedom of choice, and to rely on the free flow of information and debate in an open market of ideas where we could pick and choose what we wanted to follow. And it's our lives, and it's our future, and it's our interest, obviously, in being alive and being here. And people will choose what's in their own best interest if well enough informed. By censoring information and by giving a one-size-fits-all approach of vaccination, the government deserves us greatly, but it takes away our freedom of choice. And all disease has been overcome or dealt with, if not overcome, through this open marketplace of ideas, and far more successfully than any government-mandated approach. I mean, we can't rely on government bureaucracy to do anything right. Why would we take the most vital question, our own lives, and entrust that to the government rather than deal with it in an environment where innovation is encouraged, information is exchanged? Your neighbor is a great example. Your neighbor knew about ivermectin, obtained ivermectin, and was generous in giving it to you because that neighbor knew more than the government knew about the effectiveness of ivermectin. The government knew it, but wished not to communicate it, wanted everyone to be dumb about it because that was contrary to this 100% vaccination goal. And, you know, Dr. Joe Biden is not Dr. Joe Biden. Joe Biden, who is barely even there mentally, should not be substituting himself for our individual healthcare providers who we choose to use to help deal with our own diseases. He doesn't have your medical history. Even if he did, he wouldn't know what to do with it. He is simply not capable of doing anything other than giving a political order or command. And that's not how we deal with disease in this country, nor should it be. We need to be free to decide. We need to trust people that they'll do what's in their own best interest. We can overcome this, but not if we're going to use a centralized, you know, collectivist approach. Collectivism never wins, never works, brings about a ruination of the whole country. It will ruin medicine. It has ruined much of medicine. That's not the way to deal with this.
Oh, I agree. And we do have to go out on a commercial break, so hang out with us. You are listening to Better by the Minute Live with Becca and my amazing guest, Jonathan Emord. We will be right back. Back with Better by the Minute Life with Becca and my special guest Jonathan Emord, where we are talking about the elephant in the room. which is, yes, COVID-19. And I know you are tired of hearing about COVID-19, but the information that we are providing is to empower you on what you can do. And in this part of the program, we're going to go more into what your constitutional rights are. And I think there is no better authority to share that with us than the constitutional law, who has sued the FDA so many times with 8 victories in making sure that information is being allowed to be publicized so that you can be empowered. Now, Jonathan, let's talk about this quote-unquote vaccine. I mean, we've had vaccines for polio and measles, mumps, and rubella. And with this vaccine, I mean, it was something that was released so quickly. I mean, probably not. They were possibly planning this for quite a while based on some information that I've heard. But to have something released, what is being given now isn't even FDA approved, from my understanding. And it's being mandated. As an individual, as a citizen of the United States with constitutional rights, share with us some more information about that.
Well, the idea that your body can be commandeered by the state and you can be compelled to be vaccinated as a condition for you to go into a restaurant or to have your kids in school or to go into a workplace, the efforts by this administration to compel people to receive this vaccine as a condition for their existence, basically, for healthcare workers and others, and the states and localities doing that as well, has been ruinous. I mean, it's caused significant losses and economic losses for a whole host of industries. It's caused us to lose vital healthcare workers and first responders, policemen, firemen, and the consequences of that ridiculous draconian approach has been harm that has been immense, not only to these people's families, but to all those who are dependent upon them, including people who have died because they haven't had an ambulance come to their door in time, or because they have been injured and there hasn't been adequate care given, or because their homes have been burned down because there isn't adequate fire response. All of this is indicative of a callous disregard for the interests of people to pursue this political agenda. Now, the vaccine was labeled by President Biden as the solution to the COVID problem. And he said that everyone needs to be vaccinated. He made predictions that by last July 4th, that if everyone got vaccinated, their high percentages did, this would be over. And this is all naive, and medical authorities who study the virus could have said, you know, informed them that this is just simply not something that's prudent to say to people, to give them that expectation. It's going to go through an endemic phase, and then it's going to recede ultimately into the background like a flu. This is going to have its course. The other falsehood that was represented by the president and health authorities under his control was that if you got vaccinated, you wouldn't carry the virus, you wouldn't transmit it. That's utterly false. Even convinced, apparently, a justice of the Supreme Court with that one. During oral argument, she said that you could not carry the virus, could not transmit it if you were vaccinated. Simply untrue. And also that they hid the benefits of natural immunity. They hid the benefits of natural immunity grossly. The rest of the world was dealing with natural immunity. Their own statistics didn't take into account those who are naturally immune. This takes us all the way up to the present. Almost 100% of all cases going into the hospital today of COVID are Omicron cases. And Omicron is highly contagious, but far less virulent than Delta and the original strain of the virus. So the other good news, there are 3 studies now, one from Johns Hopkins, showing that Omicron gives you T cell immunity that is a crossover immunity that protects you from Delta and from more serious strains. And that's terribly good news. And that means that this is pushing it into the endemic phase, closer to when it will become just a background influenza kind of a thing, seasonal disease. But rather than be honest and upfront with the American people about all these things and leaving them open to alternatives, this draconian approach is hurting people. And they wouldn't allow any discussion of the adverse effects of the virus. That was censored by big tech. That's terribly damaging to our ability to innovate and correct for the harm. So, for example, we don't know, except in extreme cases, who is vulnerable to these adverse effects that crop up in the VAERS system, the adverse event reporting system that the FDA maintains. We should be studying that. We should be trying to find out who is vulnerable to these adverse effects and what can be done to minimize those adverse effects. Should people not be vaccinated? Should they be given other substances in addition to a vaccine? Should they be allowed to receive other treatments? Should they be restricted in certain of their activities, recommended to them, not forced upon them, in order to protect certain categories of people? This whole area has been grossly neglected because the government wants everyone vaccinated, even to the extent of taking people's lives who are vulnerable to the vaccine. The spike protein production in the vaccine causes serious problems with people. So for example, people who have a breach in their blood-brain barrier, when they're vaccinated and the spike proteins go past that blood-brain barrier into their brains and cause inflammation effects in the brain, they may be, for all we know, at greater risk of Parkinsonism and other neurological disorders. So they should not be receiving the vaccine. So the government takes the position that everyone should be vaccinated. That is a ridiculous position. I mean, it's a very consequential vaccination in that it alters your DNA and produces spike proteins that mimic the spike proteins of the virus itself and have inflammation reactions in your body that cause some people to have flu-like symptoms, some people have more significant symptoms, some people have even died. So trying to find out, you know, who's likely to die from the vaccine? I mean, who is likely to have severe adverse reactions? And excluding them. And then when it comes to, like, for example, someone who has had Omicron, why should we be insisting on them being vaccinated? And this argument that the vaccine will lower the effects of the virus. So if you get, you know, if you have the vaccine and you subsequently get Omicron, it'll be less severe. Well, that broad-based statement doesn't apply to everyone. There are people with underlying comorbidities who, even if they were vaccinated, might well suffer severe effects if they get Omicron. And they may have effects in general that are comparable to what someone who's not vaccinated or who has no immunity. But why also aren't they saying, they've admitted it now, the CDC has admitted it now, but why aren't they explaining to the public that if you get Omicron, you have T cell immunity, which is lasting immunity, and it protects you against the more serious strains. So if people, it's not just someone who's vaccinated who has a likely, if that's true, we don't know, but they say that there's a little bit of research that supports it, that if you were vaccinated, you would have less severe adverse effects from Omicron. Well, that's also true if you had Omicron. Omicron will reinfect people so that you can have Omicron and then get Omicron again. And the same thing with people who are vaccinated. They can, even though they're vaccinated after they had Omicron, they can still get Omicron again. Omicron's highly, highly contagious. In fact, by the time we see this recede into the, and it's heading down now, the numbers of cases are heading down. Hospitalizations are going down, deaths are going down. We're likely to see, as this thing recedes, some pretty significant benefits from so many people being infected with it. So, and the absurdity of all this is that with this drumbeat for vaccination, they are ignoring some really profound realities. And those are that about 63% of the population has had two jabs. About 35-36% of the population that has been jabbed twice has been jabbed a third time with a booster. No one's studying the extent to which repeated introduction of spike proteins into your body through the vaccine pose a health hazard. No one's studying that. You know, that should be a top priority. I mean, if you're telling people, you know, you might be getting two jabs a year, you might get three jabs a year, it might last 90 days, it might last 6 months, we don't know. You may have to get jabs that are geared towards different variants. There may be multiple jabs that you get every year. But what is the effect of causing your body to create and disseminate these spike proteins that cause inflammation? What is the effect of that, doing that over and over and over again?
Well, you're continually putting your body in crisis mode. So for it to be constantly in crisis, it's going to start breaking down and not able to bounce back like it was designed to do.
So if we had freedom protected, we would be having a wide open discussion of these points with scientists chiming in, and everybody would be working feverishly to find various new ways to deal with this. Innovation would be common. People would be trying different things, and we would be learning to adjust to it. The public would not be in this constant panic mode where they're told, there's Omicron now. Oh, there's a subvariant of Omicron now. Oh, there's a new variant. People would understand that this is the course of these ridiculous things that are created in China and financially funded and supported by the United States through Anthony Fauci. I mean, we would find out that, we'd have a full investigation. We'd find out how this happened. We'd hold the people responsible who were part of this really responsible and punish them for it and take away their privileges and kick them out of the government. And we would have an open debate about how to deal with it. And we would come up with independent ideas that would be tested, and the ones that worked would be disseminated. Instead, we have this centralized government-controlled approach. And it's greatly beneficial to politicians who wish to champion it, because they get to tell people, you should be afraid. And then they get to tell people, we have the answers. Come to us. We will tell you the answers. We'll shut down all the other answers being told to you, because we're the only legitimate source of answers. So we're going to tell you what to do with your lives. We're going to run your lives from cradle to grave. We're going to run your lives all day long. We're going to be the most important thing you think about. When you think about anything during the day, you're going to think about, oh, I've got to wear a mask. Oh, it's Omicron. Oh, it's, you know, Delta. Oh, my goodness, I should be afraid. And it's only we in the government who have answers for you. That's what they want to say. We have the answers. Well, in reality, they don't have the answers. In fact, they're regurgitating a politically approved line, and the answers are out there. They're out there in innovation. They're out there in treatments that have a long history of success and can be used but are being suppressed. They are out there in medical research, and they're out there in medical practice and the ability of physicians to openly share options. I mean, this would be a great thing. But we are being denied that information by the government in collusion with big tech.
It's heartbreaking that even the doctors that want to help, they have to consider their careers as to whether or not they're going to go with, you know, the Hippocratic Oath to do no harm or continue to support their families. And that in itself, I think, is criminal, that they cannot take their own experience, their own expertise, you know, and what they've seen is working.
And over again from physicians that I represent, over and over again. Ivermectin works. I'd like to prescribe ivermectin. I can't do it. When I see a patient in here, the first thing I want to do is tell them, you need ivermectin, and I'd like to write a prescription, but I can't. I can only give a prescription for ivermectin if a person has parasitic infection of a particular kind. Then I can give them a prescription. If they don't have that, then they can't get a prescription, because if I do it, I'm going to be subject to attack by the medical boards. The pharmacy that distributes the drugs is going to have questions about whether the person really has a parasitic infection. If I lie to the pharmacy, I can lose my medical license. I want to help people. I don't want to hurt people. I have an answer that seems to work and I can't tell them. Yeah.
It's horrible. And coming from a life where we had farm animals, it was so easy just to go down and grab some ivermectin from the feed store. Now is becoming more and more difficult, even for those who are raising animals and need it to keep their herds healthy. It's like it's an attack on every single part of our existence.
Yeah,
it is, because it's like here we have several that are cattle ranchers. I mean, that's where our beef come from. And if their herds are not healthy because they're missing something that was simple, is there any recourse, Jonathan? Because so many people, they're being told that they have to, as a condition of their employment, they have to get this vaccine. And then they have an injury that is vaccine related. Or, you know, even for those that it's not a condition of employment, they get a vaccine. They get a vaccine injury or vaccine-related injury, or even lose a family member. Is there any recourse? I know that there's that form you have to sign before getting any vaccines that release some liability, but there must be something.
We've seen some relief from the courts. We've seen some relief across the country from courts. They've gone both ways, but the Supreme Court sent a very clear signal in the National Federation case that was the employer mandate, where every company with 100 or more employees would under the Biden order would have to be vaccinated or tested weekly. And actually they made the weekly testing so difficult that essentially it's a requirement that you be vaccinated. And the court struck that down as unconstitutional. And that was quite right, because it was an assumption by the executive of what is inherently legislative power. Only Congress can make the law. Under Article 1, Congress is exclusively the body, it's called the vesting clause, the power to make laws in Congress only. And so this president has assumed dictatorial control, as have governors in various states, where they tell people you've got to be vaccinated through executive agency actions or executive orders. And they have no power to do that, because it's a legislative power in the first instance. It has to come from Congress or from the state legislatures or from a city council, or at least in most cities, that would be the case. So there are ways to sue and to challenge these mandates. And there are also exemptions, for example, for religious reasons. Under the Civil Rights Act of 1964, you cannot be compelled based on your religious objection to abide by an order such as a vaccination order when it's coming from the federal government or even from the state governments. And then from likewise under the Americans with Disabilities Act, if you had a medical disability associated with a vaccination, you would have a reasonable argument potentially that you would should be exempt. But ultimately, so we have there are salvos that are being fired by lawyers into the system that are hitting and working. But that's not the answer. The answer to this is to get rid of these authoritarians in government. The answer to this is to get Joe Biden out of the White House in 2024 and to get control over the Congress from Democrat hands, where they've forced vaccination as an issue, into Republican hands, where they're saying that they will not mandate, they will not support the mandates. We had an election in Virginia with a governor in Virginia who said that kids aren't going to be forced to be masked in Virginia. And he's fighting to prevent the schools from masking kids in Virginia, giving that authority back to the parents. Again, sovereignty to the individual. And this is the position taken by most Republican candidates. I think almost I would be shocked if any Republican candidate is not taking this position. So if you want to make a difference on this issue, you have your way of doing it. Luckily, this is not an issue where there is no recourse in politics. There is. You can vote out rascals who are supporting these mandates. And it looks like if in 2022, the Republicans sweep the House and the Senate, they will be working diligently to pass legislation that will block the mandates. Now, the problem, of course, is that President Biden is there and he will veto that legislation, but it will squarely put the issue before him and the public can be loud in its complaints and he may back down. He may give up the fight against an overwhelming majority of people who are opposed to these mandates. This is a political struggle. They made it a political struggle. They put politics into medicine. We have to take politics out of medicine, return it back to individuals and their own chosen healthcare providers. That's how we should deal with it. We never should have politicized the virus and allowed this to happen. We should not be in a position where we allow a virus or any disease to be a basis for taking away our civil liberties. We need to be free in this country. The Constitution includes no provision for suspending the Bill of Rights or limitations on government power because of the presence of a disease. That's ridiculous. The government has to live within the limits of its power. And that then compels, the Constitution is followed, that people will be the solution. That individuals and innovation and science and so forth will participate in this magnificent open debate where we come up with solutions. Doctors are very accustomed to dealing with drug-resistant and surgery-resistant disease and finding ways to cope with it. And when we let them do their thing and allow patients to have freedom of choice in the course of their treatment, we're going to have far better outcomes than we're having today. We probably would have lost far fewer people. And certainly allowing them to have these drugs. Can you imagine if everybody who got this disease was given one of these drugs that has 98-97% effectiveness in preventing hospitalization and death, these treatments at the start of the disease? Well, then we'd see far fewer hospitalizations and far fewer deaths, obviously. The vaccine is not doing that. They say it is, but the fact of the matter is there are hundreds of thousands of people every single day going into the hospitals, even with Omicron, and there are thousands of people who are dying. Well, that would not be the case, according to the evidence, if these treatments were widely available and people were given the treatments at the outset and they were allowed to have an open and free discussion with their physicians. This thing would come to a screeching halt. You would see far fewer people in the hospital, far, far fewer people dying, and the whole focus would be on treatment rather than vaccination, because vaccination is sort of a guaranteed no win. And the reason is not just because it doesn't prevent you from getting COVID. I mean, how insane is that? You did take the vaccine to prevent you from getting COVID, and yet you get COVID even after you're vaccinated. It doesn't give you a free pass on avoiding COVID, but also it doesn't give you a free pass on going to the hospital or dying from it either. So why do we emphasize the vaccine to that extent? Instead, what we ought to be doing is using all these treatments. And if we did, if it was easily available all over the country, that would be the solution to this. And furthermore, nobody's going to get vaccinated 3, 4, 5 times a year. No one's going to do that. You're going to see, we have reached close to the peak of vaccination in this country, the percentage of the population that will be vaccinated. And it's going to go down from here. It's logical. There's going to be vaccine fatigue. People are going to get sick of getting jabbed. They're just not going to do it. People aren't going to keep doing it. not only because it causes pain in your arm and some people get sick from the shot, you know, and they have flu-like symptoms, but also people are saying, why am I doing this if it's not going to prevent me from getting COVID? Why am I doing this? So
exactly.
That's, it's going to, you watch. I mean, people are not going to continuously get jabbed. It's just not going to happen. And it's so stupid for the government to think it's all control. It's all about controlling you. It's stupid for them to think that people are going to continuously, you know, like Pavlovian dogs, just immediately respond to the suggestion. No, they're going to say, hey, I'm sick of this. I'm not doing this anymore.
Well, I'm sick of it. I have been sick of it for, what, a year and a half now, going on 2 years for the whole pandemic. And I really do hope that people become empowered. They start using their God-given brains and looking at where the government is going, how it is part of control. Our forefathers came to this country for a reason, to get away from that tyranny. And we need to take it back. What we are coming up on the end of Better by the Minute Life with Becca and Jonathan, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I do hope that you will agree to come back and share more with us as I'm reading through your books and already know quite a bit from personal conversations with you. I mean, I will never forget. We spent, oh goodness, almost an hour talking about the authoritarians in your backyard. I really look forward to bringing that to the KSCO listenership and all of our viewers and listeners, because there is so much information that needs to be heard. I just appreciate you. Keep the fight going. I'm very thankful to know you. Thank you, Jonathan.
Thank you, Becca.
I do hope that you have found value in today's program. I look forward to additional interviews with Jonathan, as we have so many topics that affect our lives and day-to-day living as parents, business owners, and in general, people who care about the future of our nation. Knowledge is power. Arm yourself and become a voice in your community with truth regarding your freedoms that so many men and women have fought so hard to protect. On and off the battlefield, there are great heroes all around us. And in our nation's capital, Jonathan E. Moore is one of them. You will definitely want to keep an eye on all that Jonathan E. Moore is doing to expose corruption and help protect our sovereignty. If you are on social media, add him to your network and follow him. E. Moore is spelled E-M-O-R-D. Check out his column on townhall.com. And you can find links to his incredible books on my website, betterbythemintelife.com. That's betterbythemintelife, all one word, .com. You have been listening to Better by the Minute Life with Becca. I am Becca Dukes. Join me as I start this social media journey on your favorite platform. See you next week.